gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Do not watch the Miley Cyrus performance
from last night.
From the MTV Music Awards.
Damn, what I missed.
Oh, we have it
Jim,
for you.
You do not, oh,
you do not want to see what she does.
Really?
Holy schmoly. It is precious, the reaction of Will Smith and his family.
Yeah.
So springtime for Hitler.
Springtime for Hitler.
Hard to explain. You got to see it. There's dancing bears and she's
dancing
twerking
on Robin Thicke.
Right, mm-hmm. While he's singing third lines, and then she takes a giant foam finger and
kind of...
Okay.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
All right.
Hmm.
Perhaps we shouldn't have mentioned that to Jim right off the top.
Because Jim is not going to be about the now. Show the entire... Yeah. That's where his mind's going to be.
That's all anybody's talking about. Wow. That, even for the MTV Music Awards, that was a little slutty.
That was a little slutty.
All right.
I mean, she upstaged Lady Gaga.
Wow.
And the NSYNC reunion.
Yeah, Lady
reunion.
Gaga looked like a prude.
Yes. And the NSYNC reunion. Oh, bless their hearts.
Aw.
Oh. Well, they're all like 50 now.
Well, I mean, they're trying to keep up with Justin Timberlake, who's been practicing this whole time.
Right. Yeah.
And they haven't.
They're a little out of practice.
Well, Justin Timberlake's like one of the most talented seven guys you'll ever meet.
You know, right, like, exactly. All in one.
He can do pretty much everything.
Exactly.
But, so, that's a pretty high bar.
He should have just done in a box. Just, you know what, forget it. You guys get out of here. I'll take it from here.
He did like a medley of everything he's ever done in his entire career.
Miley Cyrus did the bleep in a box.
Wow. Yes, she did. All right. What else is happening? Oh, my God.
We're about ready to bomb Syria.
Hey!
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, my God. Do you just get the Iraq hairs standing up on the back of your neck? Like, weapons inspectors. Hey.
Same as it ever was.
Yeah, so there's that. Lots to get to this morning. How did we get that booking? Jackie Schechner with a healthcare reporter.
Yes.
Oh, she was at a dinner party at my house Saturday. That's how.
Yeah, right.
Nailed her down on that. Yep. The rude pundit, Jim, for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll see. See, we alternate. I had Michael Tomosky and Bob Seska last week, and now he gets rude pundit. and also, listener comedy at my expense.
Oh?
Backing up Jim, yes. Can I have some listener comedy music?
Okay.
From Mark in Musylvania.
Okay.
It's a little skip that he wrote.
Musylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Musin Squirrel.
Entitled Paul Revere, Whistleblower.
Uh-huh.
Dear Steph, here's a good analogy for the NSA dust-up between you and Jim. You and Jim are standing roadside as Paul Revere gallops past. The British are coming! The British are coming! Jim, hey, the British are coming! Stephanie, look at Paul Revere calling attention to himself.
Exactly.
Jim, but the British are coming! Steph, I don't think that's his horse. I think he stole that horse. This is funny. This is at my expense. Okay.
Yeah.
Jim, well, he probably grabbed the nearest horse. Listen, that's not the point. The British are coming. Steph, are the British really the problem here? Because I think it might be Paul Revere. Jim, all right, we have different concerns. We have both presented our concerns accurately. However, my concerns are pertinent. Your concerns are silly, you silly. Oh, dear. Mark in Musylvania, P.S., mm-hmm. No offense.
Yeah.
Not taken, Mark.
Well, you were pooping on Ben Franklin last week.
I was not pooping
on Ben Franklin.
Yes, you were.
You were mocking Ben Franklin.
I was quoting that quote, irrelevant to what's going on today. My future husband, Michael Tomosky.
Which one? Which one of your future non-husband?
Michael Tomosky. Okay. All right. So.
Whom you spent all Friday with.
Look at how charitable that was. We opened the show with a skin of my own expense, and this is the thanks I get. All right. Oh, so I know I was going to say the other thing I debated that right wing zygote, Ben Ferguson.
Oh, God.
On CNN Friday night. And
he has a crush on you.
Yeah, I'm like Mrs. Robinson.
Tree.
Remember we were broadcasting at the RNC and he was right next to me
and he was like
yeah, he likes to knock the books out of my hands in the debate. But he's I love debating him cuz he's dope.
Yeah.
he literally we were talking about George Zimmerman going to that gun manufacturer,
Marco Mara was not very happy about that. That wasn't very awesome.
Yeah, even his lawyer thought it was for the first time not awesome.
Not awesome.
Really? Yeah, he went to the same gun manufacturer, made the gun he killed Trayvon Martin with, and he's there smiling like a goon, shaking hands with God, you know, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure Trayvon Martin's parents think that's really just, you know, showed a lot of...
I mean, that's a holy even if he hadn't killed the guy.
Okay.
Exactly.
But would you not like to know how Ben Ferguson fell in my bear trap?
Oh, boy.
He just, like, walked right, like, the leaves were just over the thing, and he just... Because he's like, oh, Stephanie, he has a right to have a gun. He's a vindicated. He's a right. Because I said, well, first of all, I think he belongs in prison. Secondly, whatever. And he's like, well, that's you're exactly the reason why he can, needs to protect himself. Someone might take the law in their own hands. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
He didn't take the law in his own hands?
I'm sorry. What did you say? Someone might take the law? You mean like some sort of doofus wannabe cop?
Would-be vigilante.
Hmm.
He's not even a real vigilante.
What did he say?
He just fell right in the
shunk. But you, Negroes.
Fell right through the leaves.
Communist. Socialist Kenyan.
He did have that cartoon look, like, right when he's... Right, where they, like, they run in midair for a little bit before... Shunk.
Mixing up our sound effects.
Like, just made her point for her. Womp, womp, womp. Game set but match.
Game set match.
How do you defend that? But of course he defended it. Like, oh, he has a Second Amendment right. Yeah, good point. Good point. What if somebody were to take the law into their own hands?
It's certainly not part of a well-regulated militia.
Fat ass in their car like they were told to by the authorities. What if there was someone like that, Jim? Wouldn't that be something?
That could never happen. Not in this man's America.
Yes, as Jim pointed out, George Zimmerman's lawyer...
Malcolm, I think we find not too awesome, the whole gun thing. Please shouldn't be proud of the fact that he shot the gun today. I mean, self-defense, of course, the First Amendment, but it's not awesome. Not helpful.
That's basically what he said.
Yeah.
George Zimmerman's lawyer has chided him for visiting a Florida firearms factory that makes the type of gun he used to kill an unarmed teenager.
They're there.
Trayvon Martin. Yes, do you think that's somehow indelicate and insensitive and a PR wise? Gee, you're going to have to set up another fake PR miracle for him to... He's going to have, you know, run some family off the road so he can rescue them again.
You're welcome.
We understand how George visiting the factory that produces the gun used to shoot Trayvon Martin is seen as inappropriate, said a spokesman for Zimmerman's lawyer, Mark O'Mara.
Yeah.
Celebrity news site TMZ posted a photo of Zimmerman at the Caltech plant in Cocoa, shaking hands with an employee and grinning.
Yeah.
Oh, he was growling with a big grin. He's very, very happy. Oh, I think he was going to buy a compact shotgun. I'm like, oh, more firepower. That ought to end well for somebody. Good idea. That's what he needs is a bigger gun. Oh, by the way.
Normally I'm not a fan of sticking guns down the front of your pants, but in his case, maybe that.
I still cannot stop thinking about that woman in the Georgia shooting.
Yes.
The bookkeeper.
Antoinette Tough.
Yes, Antoinette Tough. I mean, that is a hero. That is somebody that, you know.
Yeah.
You talk about what stopped a gunman was not another gun or more guns. It was a human being with actual empathy and compassion. And you got to listen to that night. We have to listen to that again. I was thinking about it all weekend because I thought, like, how, I mean, that's like the, in some ways, too, that's like the whole, when you talk about this whole problem, obviously a big part of the problem is guns.
Mm-hmm.
But part of it is that. If we had more people that actually had empathy for other people and concern and just, you know, that's Christ-like, that sort of, hey, we all go through something. You know, we all go through something in this life, and let me try to help you or try to understand. You know, I mean, that's what we talk about. Every single one of these, I mean, this guy, what he said, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm off my meds. I should have just gone to the, I mean, since when have we heard of one of these incidents ending like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, I should have just gone to the mental hospital. I mean, for once, that was the thing that stopped one of these tragedies. Anyway. All right. Because, we've seen this written about every time this happens, that if only someone had reached out to some of these people sooner or tried to get them help, you know, it's certainly one of the parts of the problem.
Or
anyway.
Wait till there's a shootout and start shooting back wildly into the crowd. What could possibly go wrong?
Right. Or take matters into your own hands. Talking to you, Zimmerman. All right. So as Chris mentioned, we're about to, I don't know what the hell is happening in Syria.
They were sending inspectors to the site today, but then they had to stop because they're under sniper fire.
Great.
So Here's what's happening there. The Syrian government accused rebels of using chemical weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Saturday. Rebels accused the government of
right.
using.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
But what we know for sure is that chemical weapons
right.
were
used.
Used.
And warned the United States not to launch any military action against Damascus over an alleged chemical attack last week, saying such a move would set the Middle East ablaze.
And we've done what now?
The accusations by the regime of Assad against opposition forces came as international aid groups said it had tallied 355 deaths from a purported chemical attack Wednesday. Syria is intertwined in alliances with Iran, Lebanese Hezbollah guerrillas, and Palestinian militant groups. The country also borders its longtime foe, a U.S. ally, Israel, making the fallout from military action unpredictable, Jim. Unpredictable.
Oh, I think it's very predictable.
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong with all that mix of elements? The administration, Chuck Hagel said the administration is weighing many factors. These include an intelligent assessment of the attack in Syria, as well as what he called legal issues in the matter of international support for any military response. I have to say, I read a statement by the president over the weekend, and I did think, thank God he and not George Bush are in office now, because you're going, if only we'd heard that before we went into Iraq, you know, him just talking about... you know,
how complex the issue.
Right, yeah. Right, and
look,
having
there's bad people
having,
out there. We gotta kill them.
Having actual evidence, having a coalition, all of the stuff that anyway, U.S. naval units are reportedly moving closer to Syria. The Navy sent a fourth warship armed with ballistic missiles to the eastern Mediterranean Sea, but without immediate orders for any missile launch into Syria. President Obama emphasized, again, a quick intervention in the Syrian civil war was problematic given the international considerations that should precede a military strike. So the army, of course, said it was the rebels. The rebels say it's the army. Mm-hmm. Claims could muddy debate about who was responsible for the attack.
Who do you shoot?
Right.
Who do you surgically strike?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Does the well-known Southern belle Lindsey Graham have any thoughts on that? Just everybody?
He
just wants to turn Syria into a parking lot.
Yeah, just bomb everybody. Yeah, and you'll probably, then it'll sort it out.
Sort it out.
Yeah, gotta sort it out.
And those chemical weapons will not, of course, explode because
No.
The wind's not going to blow it over to, you know, say Israel or someplace like that.
No.
No, that could never happen.
No.
Everything's fine. Just relax.
Happy Monday, everybody.
Hey,
let's watch the Miley Cyrus video again. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another. Until there's something wrong. I know I listen to love, but one thing leads to another. Yeah.
23 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, Jim has watched the Miley Cyrus video. He just said, I'll be in the bathroom.
You were only there for about 2 minutes.
I brought extra pants, so okay. I'm good.
Awesome. And even more entertaining, he saw the Will Smith family and the springtime for Hitler faces.
Especially his daughter. Just like, what? Huh? She did what? No. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, yes, she did. All right, 1-800-STEP-1.
Yeah, and Willow Smith was saying she's whipping more than her hair back and forth.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Mike in Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I just want to talk about this gun death stuff that's going on. You know, it's interesting. We want changes to take place, but this really has to start from the top down. And when we talk about taking somebody aside, maybe somebody should take the president aside and remind him how many innocent people are getting killed with these drones for every high-value target we're killing.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they have. But,
all right.
Well, that's a factor.
Seriously, do we have to bring drones into this, issue?
Yes, it's part of the issue.
Oh,
I mean,
innocent people are being killed.
And they want revenge.
Good. Why don't we go help all the right-wing impeachment crazies?
Now stop it.
Let's impeach the president over drones and the NSA.
No one said anything about impeachment.
But we really can't.
It's not irrelevant to the conversation.
We're trying to have a debate. At least I was. I was talking about this latest thing in Georgia, the latest guy with an AK-47, troubled young guy that walked into a school with an AK-47. And Antoinette Tuff is her name. Mm-hmm. Just extraordinary. I thought extraordinary human moment. Here it is.
I'm in the front office. Oh, he just went outside and started shooting. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off. And what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dies. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable. Do you want me to try? I can help you. You want me to try? You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay. It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. I never so scared all the days of my life.
Mead. But you did great.
Oh, Jesus.
You did great.
Oh, God.
Wow. Oh, right. She was just the right person at the right time.
Yeah. I'll say, God, and obviously terrified and had the presence of mind to, you know, to do that and to show that kind of empathy for someone else. I just thought it was extraordinary. Yeah. Anyway.
And to use her own struggles to help him.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Because that's the thing is when people are in that dark place, they feel like they're the only ones that have ever been there. And that's, you know, part of, I think, how you bring human beings back. And thank God he's getting help now. And nobody died. I mean, it's, anyway. All right. By the way, speaking of the impeachment crazies, wowee, holy moly. There's a bunch of stories. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And as Jim said, for what now? I guess they're skipping over the whole grounds for.
Right.
It's sort of the general idea of impeachment.
Sure.
What, do you need a reason? Really?
Right.
Since when?
Right. Joe, our friend, Salon writes a piece, GOP's lame impeachment secret, a story of manipulation. Republican politicians are terrified of right-wing lunatics. Here's what's really behind the dumb impeachment fever. It's becoming a ritual of the congressional recess for Republicans at town halls and other venues. Frustrated conservatives ask them about the impeachment of Barack Obama. And Republican politicians, well, let's see. There are strategies all over the place, Salon writes. So we have Ted Cruz calling it a good question, but noting there just aren't the votes in the Senate to convict. One member of the House saying the votes are there in the House, but not in the Senate. Another saying that it would be a dream come true, but they all just need the quote-unquote evidence.
Because it works so well with the Clinton impeachment.
Shouldn't you have evidence before you even
apply? A crime first.
Exactly.
Right. Presumably.
You know, didn't work out well for them in the Clinton impeachment either.
Well, just let's impeach them first, and then we'll figure out the reasons later.
They had a reason there, BJ. Clearly.
Yeah.
And it's only criminal if you're doing it really, really well, in my opinion. Senator Tom Coburn said that Obama is perilously close to impeachment.
Yeah.
It's interesting none of them seem to offer any more specifics exactly. This party has just become like a primal scream.
And also
at this point,
you're right.
There is no policy, there's no nothing other than...
There still seems to be this perception that impeachment is the same as conviction. It's not.
No.
You still have to have...
Right.
A reason to throw them out of office.
The answer's all over the place, but in one sense. But in another, they're all actually pretty similar. None of them dismiss the idea out of hand. None of these politicians seem to feel a need to actually discuss the grounds for impeachment. Republican politicians are absolutely completely 100% terrified of leaving any room between themselves. And
grounds are for coffee.
At the conservative fringes of their party. That's true both on policy, substance, and on procedure.
Policy, substance, and procedure.
I don't even know what to say. Oh, and my favorite? I think Maury Dowd wrote about him, too. It's the guy that, the guy that owns reindeer. Which one is that? Reindeer farmer, Kerry Bentivoglio.
Is
he a congressman?
Bentivoglio.
Right, Tea Party congressman.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that said impeaching Obama would be a dream come true, and he's actually consulted lawyers about it.
The lawyers told him that there were no grounds for impeachment. Let me finish.
He actually thinks he's Santa Claus. He said, I'll explain it when we get back.
Remember him?
That's awesome. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour. That and Rude Pundit next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to spend my summer giving something back to the community. Chlamydia.
what I did on my summer vacation. Okay. 34 minutes
after. That's
what
Miley Cyrus did last night.
Holy moly.
I know.
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Yeah, Monday.
Papa.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I am rested and well and tan and everything else you get from a vacation, including hungover.
Yay! Hooray! We start ours Friday after the show, so you're ahead of us. So, all right, I am throwing Jim a bone because I had Mike Tomosky and Bob Seska on last week.
Wow.
To back up my side. And now, well-known naysayer, the rudeness on the NSA situation. You write, well, Michael Tomosky wrote a piece about, just talking about it, in his opinion that, what's his name, Snowden is no Daniel Ellsberg, and he went through a whole reason why. You actually say, you were doing research, and you said during the Watergate scandal, media figures went ape. Berserker over Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, seeing them as self-aggrandizing fame whores who'd an anonymous source in a corner if it'd get them one more front page scoop. You were working on this as a reaction to the deep well of animosity toward Glenn Greenwald.
Right. Not about Snowden, but about Greenwald.
Right, yeah. Right, right. Yeah.
Although, you know, you could do the same thing. I mean, you know, I mean, Ellsberg himself said that he thought Snowden was him.
Yeah, no, so. I know. I get it. I mean, I was talking to Tomosky about his piece that he just,
right.
you know, detailed all what he thought the differences were. But, you know, you make the same point Jim makes a lot. And the story ain't the messenger, it's the story. If you make it about the messenger, you're ignoring the story, which is just what the subject of the story wants. Go ahead.
Well, no, that's, I just think that, it's just interesting to me to see, you know, look, I love Tomosky, I love Bob Seska, but they, you know, the constant attacks on Greenwald and whether or not Greenwald's ego is getting in the way and all of that, to me, that's just a huge distraction
right.
from what is a perfectly valid story and conversation that the nation should be having over how much it wants the government spying on it.
Yeah, and I agree on that part. I mean, I guess, but to me, it's like, don't you think the crime in Watergate was a little different than talking about an NSA program we all knew was in place?
I mean, well, you see, that's the thing, is that we say we all knew what was in place, but we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Now we all thought, oh, of course they're doing all of this. But there's a big difference between, you know, suspecting that your boyfriend's cheating on you and then walking into the room to see another guy, you know, with him. So you know, it's...
Well, that's all fictional for me, but all right, I get your point. I take your point.
You could go the other way. Yeah, your girlfriend, yeah, is cheating
right.
on you. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And, you know...
It, okay, now I understand it perfectly. Thank you.
Yes, you walk into the to various sounds and moans
right.
and things.
Right, got it. Oh, by the way, I have to say, you also did a post about one of my favorite pieces of... I guess it would be sort of like a real-life comedy. The Thinning the Herd, Joe Arpaio's cops and militia dolts almost kill each other. This is you've got to tell it, because I read this story. You've got to tell us the details of this.
Yeah, so Joe Arpaio's he's the Maricopa County, Arizona sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
He became this big right wing hero because he was so anti undocumented immigrant and would round them up and put them in tent camps, and everybody knows this
right.
guy.
And yeah. wear pink underwear. Well,
yeah,
blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Right.
And so his deputies were out patrolling. And they were confronted by these militia guys, Minutemen, who were doing their citizens' duty of patrolling the border to round up undocumented people, and they the militia guys ended up pointing their guns at the deputies.
God.
Who identified themselves, you know, with the vest that said police on it.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And then the guy, the militia guy said, "You're not going to take away my guns." And
so
they arrested the guy and took away his guns.
Yeah. As it turns out.
Yeah.
As it turns out, they were.
Police say that's a Spanish word.
Yeah.
It's Mexican.
Yeah. You say the Minutemen, they love old Sheriff Joe. They love him for being brave enough to say that President Obama ain't American. spelled U-M-E-R-C-K-A-N.
Merkin.
Merkin.
That's something different. But.
That's something entirely different, however.
Yes.
Yeah, you say so. It must have been something of a surprise, one of these armed holes at the border, thinking some Mexicans were about to jump him, pointed his gun and yelled orders at one of Arpaio's deputies. The pure comedy part when the deputy identified himself, the Minutemen, who we'll call Cooter, because that guy. Said, you aren't taking my weapons. Poor Cooter. He never had a chance. Of course they took his weapons. I mean, this is hilarious because you say now Cooter faces felony assault charges, and the Minutemen no longer have Sheriff Joe on their side.
Yep.
You have to pry the gun from my cold dead. Okay, here you go.
All right,
yeah,
here.
The great thing was is that Joe Arpaio had made a speech to the Minutemen saying, we're not going to, you know, I will not confiscate your guns no matter what Obama says. However, apparently, should you point those guns at my deputies,
they're going to take your guns away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that Cooter was.
Or shoot you. Cooter.
Cooter said that he thought a crime was occurring, so he had, you know, reasonable.
Right.
Cause, you
right.
know, he was going to stand his ground.
Yeah.
It is hilarious. You're right. Of course, Sheriff Joe made a statement where he said his deputies could have put 30 rounds in the guy
yeah,
and added
exactly.
without a hint of his own complicity that there will be chaos, quote unquote, if you're going to have private citizens dressed like our deputies taking the law into their own hands. It's like Jeffrey Dahmer saying the latest Cleveland serial killer should cut it out. Cooter, for his part, went full Zimmerman, saying he was standing his ground. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is hilarious.
It is. It is. And you know, and Arpaio, I mean, you know, I guess at some point his deputies must have gone up to him and went, Joe, come on, for God's sake, you know, cut it out. These guys are going to kill us. Because, you know, Arpaio had even made speeches praising the Minutemen, you know, as the good citizen
right.
soldiers.
And as every episode of Rude Pundit does, it ends with a lesson. You say the more important lesson here is for every barrel-filleting gun nut who thinks that he can defend himself from the evil government, you can't, Cooter. You just can't. In this case,
nice try.
The deputies of the man the militias thought was on their side disarmed the Second Amendment lover and threatened to kill him. Oh, Cooter, it's different facing armed authorities and not poor immigrants, and when you're cornered, you'll surrender without a fight. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
You see, and you were playing that Antoinette Tough piece,
yeah.
you know, just incredible, you know. I just love that, you know, somebody totally unarmed was able to talk down this kid from what did he have, like 500 rounds on him?
Right, and isn't that the only successful conclusion of one of these we've heard about lately?
Mm-hmm.
And the NRA always says the only answer is more guns.
Yeah, right. And that's what they say. The only answer to an armed killer with a gun is somebody else with a gun. It's like,
yeah.
No.
I don't know if you heard me talking about there's only every now and again there's a rare thing of beauty in a debate with a right winger, and I was debating Ben Ferguson on CNN Friday night. And he said, of course, George Zimmerman needs a gun, Stephanie. Someone might take their law into their own hands. Oops. Uh-oh.
Did you hear about it?
I can go home now. Thanks for making my argument for me.
On the tragic side of things, and this is. There's the shooting in Louisiana, the 8-year-old who shot his grandmother.
Yeah, I heard about
and,
that.
And yeah, the kid was, first of all, the kid was playing Grand Theft Auto 4.
Oh.
And I love that all I've heard on the news is this will reopen the debate over violent
video games.
And I thought, no, it's going to open. It should open the debate over why was somebody letting an 8-year-old play
with
Grand Theft Auto 4, and why did that 8-year-old have access to a gun?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, someone wants to bitch slap you. Hang on, please. All right.
Oh boy.
You like it? You know you want it.
Yeah, bring it on.
All right. All right. Denise in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with Rude. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Steffi. So good to hear you. Can't wait to get back on the TV. But
thank you.
I'm going to challenge the rude pundit because I'm going to be pretty rude back to him.
Uh-oh.
What did you smoke on your vacation that you think that this guy, Green, whatever the heck his name is, this reporter,
Glenn Greenwald,
did not have any interest in selling papers? And his mighty decision and his, I don't know what, you know, some word from God that he was going to be the vehicle to disclose it. I mean, please. You know, this is a capitalist society. The guy clearly wanted to get his name out. And I think, and to compare that to Nixon, and so what happened to the careers of the two guys? I can't remember them right now. But who happened to those reporters who did the Watergate thing? They became famous and they made millions. In fact, one of them is still on TV as a talking head.
Bob Woodward, so, you're talking about, yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
But
But you know, my point is that if you make it about... I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
No, I was going to say, tell me what you smoked, drank, or whatever, because I was loud.
Oh, well, there was peyote. there was some really good opium.
But what was your point? Go ahead, make your point.
Denise?
Oh, well, the repentance point, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. Hang on. I'm going to hang up on you, Denise. Go ahead.
No, okay. My point is just, you know, that was one way. I'm not saying that this is as bad as Watergate, you know, because I believe, because what Nixon did was clearly illegal. We haven't had the discussion yet about what parts of this we have agreed to. And to me, this is about, this is more about having an informed public than it is. Now, my comparison was with the way in which people attack the messenger on, as a way of discrediting the Watergate story so that they didn't have to deal with the issue. It was just these, you know, these glory hound reporters. And yeah, they made millions. That's what people do when they have a story to sell. You know, every reporter hopes that they get the scoop that's going to get them the big book deal.
But they also put in the massive amount of legwork that was worth the millions of dollars that they're now being paid.
Well, I mean, you know, Woodward, of course, was a way more active whore than Bernstein ever was.
I take your point.
That's the thing people say about the footwork. You know what? If they'd have had the internet back in 1972 and 1973, they wouldn't have had to have met in a garage. Somewhere.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Rudeness, love you. Mean it. And thank you for revealing exactly what substances you smoked before you wrote that last piece.
Somehow I don't think he was kidding.
No, he was not. I don't think so. Thank you, Rude.
Bye.
Love you. Bye. Nothing but honesty on this show.
At some point, I have to read this letter from the official immigration lawyer of the SMS, the Stephanie Miller Show. Who's on my side.
Okay, great. Dear. Let's do that. You know, and then also, I have the fun facts on the reindeer farmer that is leading the impeachment charge against President Obama. Okay, 46
Santa
minutes.
Claus?
46 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Okay. I can tell the week before vacation because we're trying to talk about we may be going to war with Syria. Who knows?
Right.
You know, NSA, really important stuff. And now we're like, oh no, it's animals jumping on trampolines.
Doggies on trampolines.
Oh no.
And piggies on trampolines and goats on trampolines.
Who's a bouncy, bouncy boy? Great Dane is really quite entertaining.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. All right, speaking of entertaining, I have the fun facts. This is from Maureen Dowd's column yesterday, Reindeer Games.
All right.
Of all the impeachment clowns, people mentioning impeachment of the president without any actual, you know, what's the word?
Grounds.
Right. Grounds are for coffee, as you said. Maureen writes, on the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech, Kerry Bentivoglio, a Michigan congressman, that's where he's from, Michigan, has a dream to impeach the nation's first black president.
Mm-hmm.
If I could write that bill and submit it, it would be a dream come true. The freshman Republican told a local GOP club meeting in Birmingham, Michigan.
This is from a guy who thinks he's Santa Claus.
Right. He graciously conceded he would have to come up with some grounds first. I went back to my office and I have had some lawyers come in. And these are lawyers, well, PhDs in history. And I said, tell me how I can impeach the president of the United States. What evidence do you have? You have to have you've got to have evidence. Right. Right. So you might want to start with
the evidence.
With that. The Tea Party congressman, this is nice, a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee.
Great.
Nice. Hopes to find emails linking the White House to IRS examination of the groups.
Oh, come on.
That
story is like 1,000 years old now.
Really? Deader than dead. Has he not gotten the news on that?
Oh, guess not.
Good luck with that. I stood 12 feet away from the guy and I listened to him and I couldn't stand being there, he said of President Obama. Isn't that nice? But he's president, so I have to respect the office. Except for the fact that I'm trying to impeach him on no grounds. But Bentivoglio, the perfect avatar of the impeachment fever gripping the GOP that's unmoored from reality, given that he once admitted in a court deposition, I have a problem figuring out which one I really am, Santa Claus or Carrie Bentivoglio.
Wow.
That's why he sometimes used the pronoun we.
Okay, then.
He's been playing Santa Claus as part of a business he started 19 years ago called Old Fashioned Santa with his own six reindeer. To project authenticity, he's even sought clearance from Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Mount Clemens to fly his sleigh
in
its airspace on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Good luck. It was written in the Detroit Free Press. He told National Review that he takes being called crazy as a compliment, mm-hmm. so it didn't really bother me when people were saying that guy's kooky because he has reindeer. No, they're kooky because they don't have them.
I know you are, but what am I?
Right? Good point, Carrie.
Reindeer can't actually fly.
Yeah,
Here's where we're going to lose, Jim. Bentivoglio also had a small role in a low-budget independent film that seemed to suggest that 9/11 was an inside job.
Well, it was.
Okay.
But even the stop clock is right twice a day.
Okay.
Or once a day, according to you.
Okay. Bentivoglio left a teaching job in 2011, and after complaints, he bullied students, even telling one class on its first day that his goal was to make all the students cry once during the year.
Oh, wow.
That's effective.
Santa Claus wouldn't do that.
Wow. Yeah, BuzzFeed has a pictorial of overpasses for Obama's impeachment fad where people hold up homemade signs on overpasses.
Yeah.
So it's a thing, apparently. Maureen closes by pointing out the Democrats never impeached W, and they had real ground starting a war on false pretenses and premises and sanctioning torture. For some of the rodeo clowns clamoring for impeachment around the country, Barack Obama's real crime is presiding while black. Yeah, it seems that way, doesn't it? I said earlier the party has become just sort of a primal scream. It's not really about policies anymore.
They're screaming goats.
Right. It's become the party of screaming goats. Thank you. Okay. Maxine in San Francisco. Hello, Maxine.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I am, first of all, I agree with your last caller.
Uh-huh.
Who is as I am fed up with this whole Edward Snowden NSA crap.
Oh, right. Thank you for editing.
just absolutely fed up. Because I would like to know, where was Glenn Greenwald in 2006 when this first came out? Where was he then? What was all of this concern about the NSA under George W. Bush? Where was he? Where was Jim? Where was he? I remember Keith Olbermann was reporting on this.
Yes.
What? Yes, what? That's what I'm asking.
Huh?
Where were you?
I agreed with him that the Constitution was being eviscerated, the Bill of Rights, the Fourth Amendment, Seventh
Amendment. Where was your boy Glenn Greenwald?
I don't know. Greenwald.
I've never defended Glenn
Greenwald.
Why was he not so animated?
Huh?
As he is now.
All right. Actually, we get your point. Would you carry sensitive documents? Would you be his mule? Since he's your boy? I'm not sure what she was implying.
I think the point is on the top of her head.
Okay. But. Oh, Jim Louise.
All right. Hey, boss! My boyfriend!
All right. Right. Yes, speaking of a party that has become just a primal scream,
mm-hmm.
At least they have a new service.
The following is a recording of an actual Constar call.
Constar, please state the nature of your emergency.
Hey, my brother-in-law is in the car, and he is going on and on about Obamacare.
No, every small business in America will have to fire everyone.
I cannot seem to control him.
Death panels, biggest tax increase in history.
So we were just going to this grocery store, you know, and I mentioned that my back was hurting. And he just started in.
You know who else had socialized medicine?
Okay, stay calm, sir.
Okay.
May I ask where your brother-in-law gets his news and information?
Well, I don't know. It's either Fox News or where he hangs out at the body shop.
No, I don't care. They have to wait 7 hours to see a doctor in Canada.
All right, sir. I'm sending you instructions on how to get to the nearest bookstore.
Okay. I'm not even sure he can read.
That's okay, sir. They have picture books, graphic novels, and videos, too.
Doctors won't take Medicare no more.
Shut up!
With Constar, if you're faced with neocon logic, you're never more than the touch of a button away from actual thinking people.
This is Constar.
Hello, Constar. I can't get the doors or windows unlocked. My uncle is yammering on about being gauzy.
Mama.
watched live video. He did not do anything.
Would you shut up, Uncle Lee? I'm talking with the Comstar lady.
He ordered the commando.
Oh, you are just
okay, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm deploying the passenger side airbag. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. Thank you for, on behalf of all of us, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim feels much, much better now that he has viewed the Miley Cyrus video again.
No,
just
I
wanted
haven't.
To check to see, make sure what he saw the first time was correct.
I'm just rereading my love letter from the.
Would you like to?
The official immigration lawyer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, would you like to? Well, by all means, please. StephanieMiller.com. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Please, Jim.
First off, I hate it when you guys fight, except, of course, when Jim is right and the rest of you are wrong, wrong.
Yeah, I heard this.
In Friday's interview, Michael Tomasky claims Snowden is no Danny Ellsberg because of his decision to flee the U.S. rather than face trial. However,
right.
I submit that certainly a reason for Snowden to flee is exactly the reason humanitarian asylum law exists, because it is impossible for the whistleblower to get a fair trial in his home country. Daniel Ellsberg was tried at a time when federal judges were largely placed on the bench for their competence, not their political affiliation. Precious few judges on the bench today are willing to challenge the government's claims of state secrets or disallow the use of secret evidence, and you can bet the Justice Department would forum shop to make sure that Snowden would not appear before any liberal bench. Ellsberg was vindicated largely because evidence of the government's egregious conduct came to light. Today, any such evidence would likely never come up, as the government would make secrecy-slash-privilege claims. Ellsberg was also tried decades before the National Defense Authorization Act came about, permitting indefinite detention of U.S. citizens. One need look no further than Eric Holder's pathetic attempts to assure the Russians that the U.S. would not torture or execute Snowden to realize how globally diminished our stature is on human rights. Asylum law exists in part to protect those who face indefinite detention, disappearance, and or torture for revealing human rights violations that are embarrassing to their home government. Why Snowden chose to reveal that information prior to reaching a destination like Ecuador is a bit of a mystery. Maybe he's a big dummy, or maybe he just has a deal with Russia. Like Jim, I don't particularly care what his motives are. He has done us all a service in confirming the reach and illegal conduct of the national security state. Mm. That's Kim, the official immigration lawyer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you, Kim. All right. by the way, Michael Tomasky did issue an apology about Friday's show, and that was that his little girl was screaming in the background.
Yes.
Because she was told she was going on the choo-choo train.
Oh.
And
she
instead,
missed the choo-choo train.
Daddy was doing a radio interview.
Oh.
I thought it was totes adorbs, actually.
He had actually forgotten to put it on his calendar. So.
It was like interviewing someone at Chuck E. Cheese. It was hilarious.
Aww.
And he still made really good points, Kim and Jim.
And the choo-choo
train. Yes. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Tom in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Tom.
Hi, that nice lady called very upset, wondering where Glenn Greenwald was in 2006. He was writing on the subject. He started writing his blog, Unclaimed Territory, in 2005. He covered the Plame affair, the CIA leak journey, the grand jury leak investigation, Scooter Libby, and the NSA warrant surveillance that was going on then.
So nothing. He really had nothing going on. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he published his book, What Would a Patriot Do, in 2007, covering the very same subject. The full title of What Would a Patriot Do is, let me find it here. What Would a Patriot Do? Here we go. Biblio. I'm sorry, I've got Wikipedia up and it's a long way to
That's
go.
That's okay. Oh, gosh. All right. I'm sorry. Something happened with the phone system again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can't wait for someone to look something up. Okay, here's good news for all the impeachment caucus. I think we finally found grounds. President Obama tips 52% at a Rochester, New York deli this weekend. That's socialism, isn't it? Can't you... That's got to be got to be something in there that Ted Cruz can use.
And he sent all that money to the IRS, who's keeping the man down.
Or Santa Claus guy.
Mm-hmm.
God. Yes, this news, I don't know where this news is. The leader of the free world has done something only great
this
men
This is TMZ.
Yes, he tipped his server on top of the already added gratuity. He double tipped. He stopped for lunch at Magnolia's in Rochester, New York. He had a grilled cheese and cream of tomato soup. Everybody?
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a little kid's meal. That's awesome. Yeah, a rainy day kid's meal.
Cute.
Yeah.
Michelle was shaking her head.
Maybe he had a rumbly tumbly. He bought lunch also
tomato
for his...
soup is not a vegetable.
Bought lunch for his Secret Service men. He also double-tipped the waiter. Total bill for 9 people, $89.84. The restaurant added a 20% tip for the large party, but Obama felt he needed more needed to be done. He gave an additional 30% and totally left a 52%.
Wow.
Would W have done that? I think not.
I think so. Adorable grilled cheese tomato soup.
That's a rainy day kids meal.
That's right. That's a second grade meal.
Yes.
This is also, speaking of stuff on the interwebs, I didn't see this, Christian. Well, you have a Google alert for my name, right?
I do, yes.
Exclusive diva-like demands of radio. Talk show host puts television deal in doubt. Her new twists and negotiations between Stephanie Miller and possible television hosts for her radio show have put any sort of deal on hold. It looks like any sort of deal that could return the Stephanie Miller show to network television hit a snag, according to inside sources. Miller, 64. has in the last week put in new demands of strained relationships between her company and two possible network hosts for her show, The Stephanie Miller Show. According to her producer, Chris Lavoie, who asked not to be named as a source in the search, told this reporter Miller's demands were for the following. Miller has to be televised in low-def cameras, and she has to have soft lighting. She needs a makeup person and backup wardrobe available at all times in case she gets a little too hot and sweaty during the show.
It's happened before.
Known to happen.
Yep.
I deny. I can neither confirm nor deny that story. That's all I'll say.
Remember 9 years ago, Buddy would write these things, and he'd say jokingly, Miller, 52.
Right. Now it's just gotten funnier.
Ooh, and now that's your age. Hmm.
It only gets funnier. All right, speaking of funny, Bob Filner, don't go. Oh. Stick it out.
No. Don't say that around him.
San Diego Mayor. Mayor/Perv Bob Filner resigned on Friday.
I offer a deep apology, certainly to all the citizens of San Diego. I had no intention to be offensive.
Right. Who knew?
Sure.
Who knew? Bitches can't take a joke. Who knew chicks don't like a headlock and a facial lick?
What? What? What'd I do? What?
I probably just sounded like a dental suction machine in his office. Oh, dear. He was defiant to the end.
I have never sexually harassed anyone.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's
but the hysteria that has been created, and many of you helped to feed, is the hysteria of a lynch mob.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
So it's your guys' fault. All right.
How dare you point out all the things that I did?
Lynch mob. Okay, so that happened on Friday. This was one of my favorites. So, crackpot Ted Cruz?
Yes.
Senator Ted Cruz, who is one of the foremost, impeachment guys.
Yeah.
He's hasn't found the grounds yet, but he thinks it's a good idea.
I have in my hand a list of 205 communists in the... Oh, no, that wasn't me. That was the other guy.
Oh, my God. Have you seen the internet pictures, like all the side-by-sides of him and
really
McCarthy?
Just like
it is
yeah.
eerie.
Yeah.
It is eerie. He was born in Canada, as we know, eh? The question of whether or not that would disqualify him for president up in the air, legally speaking. Technically, one Cruz supporter, though, defended the senator by saying that Canada is not really even foreign soil.
Ah, right. It's our 51st state.
Right.
Canada applies to Canada.
Yeah.
Here she is.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, Canada is not really foreign soil. Yeah, that's the way I look at it.
Because in case you haven't noticed, he's white. Like it matters.
With a name like Cruz?
Wow. Okay. Hal in Mississippi on Ted Cruz. Hello, Hal. Hello, Hal. Hal going once, going
well,
twice.
You know, Canada is on the same continent, but so is Mexico.
Exactly.
Maybe I'm sure
so
that's
she
what she
that,
meant.
She
I'm
wouldn't
sure
make that
she
argument
mean,
about Mexico.
I'm sure she didn't mean that it's okay with my guy because he's white. I'm sure that's not what she meant.
It is
right
interesting,
there.
Though, that the states or provinces on opposite sides mm-hmm. of us, north and south, are both B.C., Baja California and British Columbia.
Ah, yes.
Wow. How's about... speaking of, oh, just, I don't know, blatant racist primal screams. This guy works for the government. Media brings this story. Yes. DHS employee, Department of Homeland Security employer, who operates a race war site, also has a video calling Obama a mulatto F-word for gay man.
Yep. Hmm.
Who could argue with that? That's a Blazing Saddles reference.
All right. President Obama is a mulatto F-word for gay man, and the first gay president, according to...
No, we had one before.
Ayo Kamathi, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Acquisitions Officer, who was revealed to be running a website that prepares black people for the inevitable clash with white people. In a video from August 2009, found on his YouTube page, the government employee is seen lecturing a crowd about the evils of homosexuality and the president's efforts to expand the rights of gays. He writes, miserable, low-life, scum-dwelling product of the Europeans. He at one point calls Obama, while ranting against the president, declaring June to be a national LGBT Pride Month, which it was. After a video presentation, he then explained that Obama is an F-word for gay man who was elected into office by these crackers solely because of his support for destructive gay rights. The Department of Homeland Security said he has been put on paid administrative leave. Well, that's nice. He's still... Wow. Now, that's...
By the way, Yar,
so we're still paying this guy.
Yeah, still investigating that whole situation.
The first gay president is alleged to be James Buchanan.
Yeah, just for those of you who want some historical...
The bachelor president?
Uh-huh. Sure, he just couldn't find the right girl.
That's it.
Just a historical fun fact from Jim Ward. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Come on, it's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, music business gossip. 22 minutes after the hour. So did Taylor Swift say shut the up?
It sure looks like it.
During the Video Music Awards, yes.
Wow. Something happening between her and Selena Gomez?
I hope
something?
So.
Maybe Miley Cyrus is just there to distract everybody from that. What do you think?
That could be.
Okay. All right, 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Poor Lady Gaga just got overshadowed by everything last night.
What does a gal have to do these days?
Do I have to break another hip?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Betty in Albuquerque. Hey, Betty, welcome.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh, very good morning to all of you.
Yes.
I just called to say that, you know, it's said that Americans have a tendency to get the government they deserve. Those two women callers that called previously beating up on Glenn Greenwald, they're going to get the government they deserve. Their ignorance is overwhelming. In fact, they're drowning in it, and they don't even know it. This administration has got the worst record in the history of the country on both whistleblowers and journalists.
Okay, that is not true. He has passed some of the strongest whistleblower protections since he's been in office.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yes.
They've used the Espionage Act of 1917 more during this administration than it had ever been used since its inception. So where's the protection?
I'm
reading articles all the time about whistleblowers going to jail. Where's the protection?
Okay, let's start with Bradley Manning then. What would you do
Chelsea.
About that?
Chelsea Manning.
All right, you know what? I'm not in the mood.
Oh, do I have to read this again from the Freedom of the Press Foundation?
No, please don't.
Oh, God, I have a headache. All right.
Let's talk about Miley Cyrus.
Let's talk about twerking again. All right, this weekend, oh, by the way, my sister was at the big march in Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, and took my nephew and was saying it was amazing. Trayvon Martin's parents were there. And of course, she rushed the crowd. And yelled at Ed Schultz, I'm Stephanie Miller's sister.
And what did Ed say?
He said, Stephanie who?
He did not. I love Stephanie, tell her hello. By the way, I want to say a big... It is Ed's first week back to full time at MSNBC.
Yes, thank God.
Right, to which I say hooray.
No slight to Chris Hayes.
No, of course. Anyway, Ed Schultz
Chris
will be
Matthews.
Back.
Chris Matthews.
Matthews?
Yes, he's replacing one of the showings of
Hardball. Okay, I thought there was...
Which probably should have been done in the first place because playing a replay of
Ed had great ratings, and I'm really thrilled for my friend that he's back, and I will be appearing on the Ed Show live on Friday.
Yeah. Good.
On the big show. He is, let's see, let me think now. He is on 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. So tune in and watch our buddy Ed on MSNBC. My sister has always been embarrassing. But he was broadcasting live from there. It was his last weekend show this weekend.
She didn't do this while he was on the air.
Let's hope not. Okay. She said maybe, so I can watch the replay.
Oh, no.
Well, because I guess he went in the crowd to take questions.
Okay.
It wasn't really a question, but more of a shout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A shout out.
Right. A shout out. Okay. Representative John Lewis spoke, and that was
powerful. And he's the only living speaker. Who's still alive, so...
Yeah, he urged the crowd at the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington to fight for the Voting Rights Act in the wake of the Supreme Court decision gutting the core provision.
I gave a little blood on that bridge in Selma, Alabama, for the right to vote. I am not going to stand by and let the Supreme Court take the right to vote away from us.
Yeah, he called on Congress to fix the Voting Rights Act. Representative Lewis again yesterday.
The vote is precious. It is almost sacred. It is the most powerful nonviolent tool we have in a democratic society, and we got to use it.
Yeah, good for him. Yeah, he definitely has the moral authority.
Yeah.
Give that speech yesterday.
He was nearly killed.
Yeah.
Protesting.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, speaking of Trayvon Martin's parents being there, did you see former Secretary of State Colin Powell says the jury verdict that freed the killer of Trayvon Martin was questionable?
That's
what I said on CNN Friday. He belongs in, what's the word I'm looking for, Jim? Prison. Prison, not posing for pictures at a gun manufacturer, particularly the same manufacturer that manufactured the gun that killed Trayvon Martin.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me. I got another gun. Just like the other one.
That's not awesome.
That's not very awesome. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, even Mark O'Mara
thinks it looks bad.
He of the clacky comedy teeth was not was disappointed.
Could you find another car to rescue? Because that'd be good.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe I'll run a car off the road so you can rescue people from the car.
All right, our friend Joan Walsh has another great piece in Salon about the that apparently really is a thing, the impeachment crazies. Tom Coburn, Ted Cruz, and other crackpots can't stand up their base and face reality. I love she entitles the article, "No, You're Not Impeaching Anyone."
Just settle down.
The last time Senator Tom Coburn spoke warmly but candidly to his Oklahoma constituents about his friend, Barack Obama, it was to reassure him that the president doesn't want to destroy America. Instead, he said the intent is to create dependency because it works so well for him.
Sure.
Huh? As an African-American male. He said Obama received tremendous advantage from a lot of these programs.
Such as?
Programs he meant. That's what friends do in Coburn's world, Joan Walsh writes. They indulge in delusional racial stereotyping to defend their quote-unquote friend from detractors. Also, apparently they claim their friend is perilously close to high crimes and misdemeanors, the standard for impeaching a president, and promise they won't let their friendship stand in the way of impeaching the lawless president. Wow. Coburn, the latest Republican to humor his crackpot constituents in August town halls by suggesting a president can and or should be impeached. Oh, and he also won. Mike Lee is the one trying to shut the government down over Obamacare. He one-upped Lee by joining crackpot Mark Levin's call for a new constitutional convention.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
You know, that can cut both ways.
Right. Yeah.
You could get some things you really don't want.
Yeah, listen how crazy this is. He said, if you want to do it, he told one angry constituent, do it on the debt limit. Don't do it on shutting down the government, because the economy is so precarious right now, shutting down the government won't stop Obamacare one iota. If the economy is too precarious for a government shutdown, imagine what a debt ceiling meltdown would do. No one in the crowd asked Coburn to explain. Once again, it just is a primal scream. It's not a party anymore. It's
Nazi.
Right. Monday, when asked why not impeach the president, Ted Cruz said, it's a good question.
It's a very good question. I have to think about it when I'm back home in the 51st state called Canada.
Right. That's a good idea. They just don't have the votes for it. Okay. Okay. A little more on this as we continue.
I have a high voice, okay? Get over it.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It feels like Bieber. Nothing feels like Bieber.
Out of context, the attack.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Jill in Ithaca. Hey, Jill. Welcome.
Morning. At the march over the weekend, I thought Merrily Evers, the wife of slain Medgar Evers, was brilliant. She said, let's stand your ground. Let's take it back and make it stand your ground about things like voter suppression and injustice to black people, you know, stop and frisk, things like that. I thought that was brilliant.
It was some powerful stuff. Go ahead, Jill. Sorry.
Yeah, and also on Friday I was talking to a person who kind of made me feel sad because he said, you know, I was talking, he was very much aware of injustice in our court systems and things. But when I said, well, you must feel badly about Trayvon Martin's thing, he said, you know, he said, no, not necessarily. And he was trying to defend Zimmerman. And he said, I was one of the few white people that he knew that felt that way. And I said, well, I guess you hang out with the wrong white people. I don't know.
Got to find some new white people. All right. Giggle, giggle. Okay. By the way, the president was in Scranton, Pennsylvania over the weekend. Mm-hmm. He's speaking about how funding education ought to be a bipartisan idea because they just cut funding for education. They're always a good idea.
Sure.
He suggested the same should be the case with his signature health care law. He said these are ideas that should have bipartisan support. Of course, so should Obamacare. It's actually a really good idea. It's going to work. It used to be a Republican idea. There's a governor of Massachusetts who set it up. It's working very well. Snap. Mittens callback. Romney care. Okay. Just saying. We will talk to... Oh, by the way, Jackie's Healthcare Corner coming up at 8 o'clock. How did we get that booking?
I have no idea.
Oh, I know. I got her drunk Saturday night at my house. all right, so we opened up the show talking about Syria. I don't know if it's making the Iraq hairs stand up on the back of your neck, but mine a little bit. I'm like, yikes, chemical weapons and all these different factions, and it is getting a little bit.
The difference here is that we know chemical weapons were used, you know.
Right, but we don't know. The army's saying it was the rebels saying it's the army. Mm-hmm. We're not exactly, you know, and thank God I was reading a quote from the president. I'm like, if only I'd read this from George Bush before the Iraq War.
Yeah.
We really have to have, you know, direct evidence. We would have to have a coalition that would go in. We'd have to have internet. I mean, all of the stuff that, you know, we should have done before Iraq. But what a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, when you read all of the different factions are fighting, the president, by the way, yesterday.
We are right now gathering information about this particular event. What we've seen indicates that this is clearly a big event of grave concern.
I think the latest number I was saying, 300, and I believe it's 55, something like that, deaths. Go ahead.
Yeah. And apparently, these attacks only happened in a suburb about 15 minutes away from the UN, from the hotel where the UN inspectors were staying.
Wow.
And it's only now that they've allowed them in, and they haven't even gone in yet because they were under sniper fire this morning.
Right, right. The president again yesterday.
Sometimes what we've seen is that folks will call for immediate action, jumping into stuff that does not turn out well.
Talking to you, Senator McCain.
Yeah. Maybe a little George Bush.
Yeah. Chuck Hagel, Defense Secretary, yesterday.
President Obama has asked the Defense Department to prepare options for all contingencies. We have done that.
Yeah, you know, they're basically saying they're you know, clearly gathering evidence, but, you know, Chuck Hagel said the same thing about, you know, needing a coalition, that we can't, and I'm sure, like I said, I wasn't watching all the Sunday shows, but I'm sure Senator McCain gave some version of, we have to strike now, die, kill.
I actually didn't see Senator McCain on any of the shows I watched.
Uh-oh.
He could be on vacation with his family or something.
Well, here he was. Oh. I don't know where he was, but
when does the United States, with very little cost, stand up for these people?
He says this. Does he not say this about every conflict everywhere? And what is that? So, and what does that mean? I mean, rush into the middle of this without having all the evidence and without having a coalition? Like, what does that mean? Stand up for?
He just wants the United States to be irresponsible.
Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee.
Hope the president will ask for authorization from Congress to do something in a very surgical and proportional way that causes them to understand that we are not going to put up with this kind of activity.
But who do we bomb?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How do you do surgical in this?
Corker is talking like he knows for sure that it was Assad that did it to his people, but we don't know that for sure. And it would be irresponsible to take action if we don't know who did it.
Oops, bombed the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time that's happened. You're welcome, America.
Senator Jack Reed, Democrat of Rhode Island.
We have to verify that it was directed by the Assad regime, because that will allow us to build an international coalition, which is actually necessary to take any further steps in Syria.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, and Representative Elliot Engel, Democrat of New York.
We have to move, and we have to move quickly. I think Congress needs to be involved, but perhaps not initially.
Once again, a complex situation, and it's, you know, some people are going to use it, as they always do, to just go, oh, the president is not leading. It's like, what? And in this case, leading means, like you said, Lindsey Graham saying,
indiscriminately.
Yeah. Make it Syria parking lot.
Yeah.
And that way you'll get everybody. You'll be sure that you get, you know.
Yeah.
Sorted out later. Okay, I know that the Miley Cyrus video is turning us into a nation of perverts this morning. You got to give it up for this guy and his commitment. This is commitment. This is a committed pervert. I mean, not with Filner gone. Septic tank peeper, that guy.
Oh, I remember him.
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Man found hiding in a septic tank. You got to be committed, Jim. You got to really want to look at some.
You
got
to be serious perv to.
Right.
Yeah.
He was found hiding in a septic tank under a woman's restroom at a public park. That's committed. Has pled guilty to a peeping Tom charge. He was inside the permanent outhouse at Whitewater Park, arrested after a woman taking her daughter to the restroom saw someone looking at her from inside the toilet. The firefighters pulled him from the septic tanks and authorities arrested him after he was cleaned off with a fire hose.
And those have a lot of pressure.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah. Okay, so that happened. All right.
And somebody let that happen. That wasn't us.
Another crime stack. Alleged pimp wearing an I Make Pimpin' Look Easy t-shirt. He's a gawker with a note to criminals. When you're doing something illegal, it's probably not a good idea to wear a t-shirt explaining exactly what that illegal activity is and the degree of difficulty you find practicing that illegal activity to be. Accused San Diego pimp Martel Davis learned the hard way that when police arrested a 17-year-old for prostitution and found a contact in her cell phone who appeared to be her pimp, police texted him pretending to be the teenager and asking how much she should charge for.
Oh, boy.
You know,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Back
door there.
Thing. Right.
Davis
allegedly told her to break the bank.
Sorry, what?
oh, dear. Really?
Okay. Davis came to pick her up later that night, he was wearing the I Make Pimpin' Look Easy t-shirt David was promptly arrested for. Pimping. Right. Oh, he denied, by the way, he was her pimp, saying he was just helping her out, and she paid him for protection, which is technically known as...
Pimping.
As pimping. Mm-hmm.
That's right. What's going on with all the perverts in San Diego as of late?
Yeah, what's happened?
Yeah,
what's happening with staying classy, San Diego?
That's not classy.
What's going on down there?
Never started to be classic. Well,
it's too warm. People can, you know, wear too little, apparently. I have no idea. All right,
I blame Comic-Con.
Yeah, I blame Comic-Con. Totally.
And those
all that cosplay. That cosplay. It always leads to this.
No, OJ when this happened. Woman found alive 2 weeks after her own funeral and burial.
Oh.
I hate when that happens.
But, well, then, who did they bury?
Interesting story. The family of Sherilyn Jackson was sure they had buried their loved one, and earlier this month, at the viewing, people thought her nose looked a little thinner than usual, but beyond that, everyone agreed they were burying the 50-year-old mother, except that she was found 2 weeks later very much alive in a Philadelphia hospital.
Oh.
So, you're thinking, who did the family bury?
Yes. Yeah.
And why couldn't they recognize their own kin? There was a really strong resemblance, said the mother of Sherilyn Jackson. She looked so much like Cheryl, they could be sisters. Jackson had gone missing, as they say, earlier this year. When an unidentified woman died in a Philadelphia hospital in July, authorities matched the body to Jackson's missing persons report. Jackson had been dealing with drug and mental health problems, and her family had been trying to find her. Her son saw the pictures of the body and positively identified the body as Jackson.
Oh, boy.
A spokesman said if someone comes in and their family member says, that's my mom, that's generally good enough. Okay, so, still don't know who that person is.
Ooh.
Right. They're going to have to dig her up and figure that out.
Oh, dear.
Okay. So that's weird.
Somebody's job.
Yeah.
Foul. Fernando in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Fernando.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Mook.
Good morning.
I am the official Mexican-American Chicano registered nurse of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow. Hello.
Okay, well, I just have a couple of points regarding my moronic junior senator, Canadian senator from Texas. One is, why don't we call him by his given first name, Rafael?
Rafael.
And just see how quickly teabaggers rally around.
Yeah, right. And with the extra rolly R's, like you
just yes. Rafael.
Exactly. You roll your eyeball. You roll your R's till your eyeball jiggle.
Yeah. just like
the teabaggers love to call President Obama Hussein.
That's right.
I dare you to break into his next town hall and say, Rafael, do you believe that Rafael's have ridges?
I am salivating at the thought of having him come to San Antonio so I can do that. The other thing is his last name.
Cruz.
You know, we keep calling him Cruz. There is no S sound
Cruz.
In Spanish. There's no Z sound, rather. There's no Z sound in Spanish, or as Canadians call it, no Z.
Right.
No Z sound in Spanish. So we should call him Cruz, because it rhymes with goose.
Cruz.
And the other thing is, you know, we keep calling him Ted Cruz. We end up making him sound like he's Tom Cruise's younger ugly son.
Yeah, exactly. Nicely done, Fernando.
If
thank
you. Castilian, it would be Cruz.
Right. Okay.
Yes. Ibiza.
45. No Zed. 45 minutes.
No Zed.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, 50 minutes after the hour. You know what's sexy?
What?
SodaStream. Fresh, fizzy soda.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Judy in Jupiter, Florida. Hello, Judy.
Hello. How are you
Good.
Today?
How are you? Go ahead.
Oh, we're doing just fine down here. I wanted to tell you about this crazy older guy that we have that drives around in a car with all these flags and signs on it. Says impeach Obama, and he has American flags and stickers and such. And he even has a handicap thing on the back of his car for like a wheelchair, and he's used it to put the signs across.
Oh.
And I'm surprised the cops haven't pulled him over for distraction and causing an accident, because the guy is ridiculous. And he also sets up a place in front of the post office every once in a while. And I haven't heard too many beeps going by, so that's a hopeful sign.
Here's the good news for you in Jupiter, Florida. You can buy Celine Dion's mansion for only $72 million right now.
And as a matter of fact, I have a friend who knows exactly where it is, because she was in it before she bought it.
Oh, really?
But, it has a water park. Just in case.
It does. Yes. And did you hear about Tiger's new place that it's sinking?
It's sinking.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, dear.
Yes, it's sinking.
All
apparently.
Of Florida's sinking.
Oh, dear. Yep. That's too bad. Jim, it has, what do you call it, Celine Dion's? It has multiple pools and a lazy river.
A lazy river.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So go.
I would have gone with the ambitious river.
Right. I like my rivers a little more ambitious. Really? I mean, who wants a lazy river? $72 million, you can work a little harder for
it. Not if you're white water rafting. You don't want a lazy river.
No.
What?
Hey. All right. Uh-oh. Jim, another bone for you. National Security Agency officers on several occasions have channeled their agency's enormous eavesdropping power to spy on love interests.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get this. Is this love interests of terrorist suspects or just love interests of theirs?
Anyone's love interests.
Well, right. So that it's obviously
a
misuse.
So they could date more chicks.
We're all suspects now.
Oh, then I need dating music. The practice isn't frequent. One official estimated a handful of cases in the last decade, but it's common enough to garner its own spycraft label, Love Int. Maybe love intelligence.
Yeah, love intelligence.
There's nothing that... There is no intelligence involved in love at all. Your IQ drops at least 45 points. The Love Int examples constitute most episodes of willful misconduct by NSA employees. NSA said in a statement Friday, there have been very rare instances of willful violations of any kind in the past decade, and none have violated key surveillance laws.
Sure, just accidental ones.
I still don't get that. Okay. Jeff, that's what you're saying, that it's not spying on love interests of terrorist suspects?
No, they're spying on people that they might want to date.
All right. Most of the incidents, officials said, were self-reported. Such admissions can arise, for example, when an employee takes a polygraph test as part of a renewal of a security clearance. Senator Dianne Feinstein said the NSA told her committee about a set of isolated cases that have occurred about once a year for the last 10 years where NSA personnel have violated NSA procedures. She said in most instances the violations didn't involve an American's personal information. She added that she's seen no evidence that any of the violations involved the use of the NSA's domestic surveillance infrastructure, which is governed by FISA, obviously. Clearly, any case of noncompliance is unacceptable, but these small numbers of cases do not change my view that the NSA takes significant care to prevent any abuses and that there is a substantial oversight system in place. When errors are identified, they are reported and corrected. Well, if she says the violations didn't involve an American's personal information, then maybe it is overseas. Maybe it's love interests overseas of terrorist suspects. I don't know. That's
not what it sounds like.
I need clarification.
Nope. That's not what it sounds like.
Nope. Sounds like a scam.
Well, it sounds like, you know how when you are about ready to go out on a date with someone, you type their name into Google.
And then you're like, hey, come on. It's too late to cancel.
This is taking that to the nth degree, I think.
Oh, God.
I think that's what this is.
Huh.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. By the by, did you see this piece in an op-ed in the L.A. Times Dad, Rush Limbaugh and Me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not that I don't have any idea about this, but, you know, conservative family, you know, growing up liberal, but it was interesting. A lot of people, so, you know, then they write the letters that respond the following week.
Yeah.
So a lot of, like, of course, conservatives, I felt like, missed the whole point, and they're going, oh, how come she's so intolerant of her father's views? Like, wait a minute, what? I thought it was a really touching piece, actually.
About tolerance, yeah.
Yes. She said, my father was a passionate conservative. I, to put mildly, am not. Her name is Madeline Janis. She wrote in the L.A. Times. She said, a few months ago, I helped my father pack up his apartment in San Diego in preparation. I thought, in fact, this was a love story. For his move to an assisted living facility, he was ill, could no longer live alone. I wanted him to be nearer to my home in L.A. I doubted such a task is ever easy with both parent and child aware of the burden of... caring has shifted from one generation to the next, but in our case, things are even more loaded because of our politics. He was a passionate and devoted fan of Rush Limbaugh. I, to put it mildly, am not. My father listened to Limbaugh's show every day, contributed to his charities, wore Limbaugh caps, espoused political views that seemed so extreme to me that I regularly asked myself how it was possible for someone like me to be his daughter. Yet somehow we always managed to connect despite our differences, and we loved each other. Anyways, you know, she sort of doesn't say it was easy. On the day we were packing, we were both understandably on edge. I came across a stash of Rush Limbaugh caps, maybe a half dozen of them, each with a different year printed on the front. I said, can we get rid of these? Rush Limbaugh is nasty and mean-spirited. He doesn't like women, and if he knew me, he would hate me and everything I stand for. Can't you at least stop wearing these caps? My father reacted indignantly. Rush is one of the great men of this age, he insisted.
God.
He was keeping the caps. I had to go outside to calm down. My father, also shaken, went back into his bedroom. He was highly educated, a psychiatrist with multiple advanced degrees in science and medicine. He was Jewish and deeply religious. Donating to charities, blah, blah, blah. But he hated President Obama. and thought the government was at the root of all evil. He refused to join AARP because he thought it was socialist. He read vociferously but focused on right-wing historical texts that blame everything wrong with the American economy on FDR and the New Deal. He planned to vote for Michelle Bachmann if she made it to the California primary last year. His political beliefs were rooted in the idea that people should take care of themselves, not depend on the government for things like health care and sustenance, yet he had benefited from the GI Bill, Social Security, and Medicare. The truth was, he told me regularly he was proud of me despite our differences. On the day of our dispute, I went back into his bedroom. He said, "Sweetheart, I want to tell you something." I said, "It's okay, Dad. I know we disagree. Let's just not talk about politics." He said, "I've been thinking. I've come to the conclusion that although I really like Rush Limbaugh, I love you more, so I'm going to give up the caps."
Oh, wow.
He said, "My dad died this month. I miss him greatly." Anyway, but it was just a great point about getting along and being sane in this politically divided country we're in. 58 minutes after the hour, Jackie's Healthcare Corner next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, heavens. I saw little Jackie Schechner Saturday night.
Did
she's
you?
She's like, wow, people do things after 7 o'clock at night. She has a life. She has a life. But she's back for a corner.
Hello, world. Is the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Good morning.
Oh, we miss you so much. Spoon with us for a moment. Okay.
All right. That's
okay.
Good.
All right.
That's good.
Any longer than that gets creepy.
How are you, precious? Yeah. One second rule.
I said that I'm awake. I'm caffeinated. I may or may not still be in my pajamas.
Oh, give Jim a little something.
Totes jelly.
All right. So let's check in on healthcare. So the president, obviously, this weekend took a little shot at Mitt Romney. He said, this is a Republican idea. He said it's one that's working very well in Massachusetts, for instance. And yet we still have just this sort of, I was saying this party has kind of become just like a primal scream and not really a party anymore, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans, never mind the fact that the Republicans had 8 years in office to do something on health care reform and didn't go near it. Then we had two elections where the voters voted against any of the Republican ideas, what little ideas they have when it comes to health care reform. So at this point, I think we're pretty much set with the fact that Republicans don't have a plan to fix our nation's health care system, and anything they're doing at this point is just bloviating. So, you know, the president's right that the ideas that we implemented are very much modeled on the Massachusetts health care plan, which was Mitt Romney's doing. But at the same time, the Republicans who are now screaming out against it, saying they want different solutions, different answers, had a total of, what are we talking about, like 16 years to do something and came up with nothing.
Well,
so they don't get a voice anymore.
Well, I mean, but plus it doesn't even make any sense, this whole, like, effort to shut down the government overfunding Obamacare. It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Because, first of all, it wouldn't defund Obamacare, would it?
No, I mean, it's a ridiculous ploy. It doesn't make any sense. You're going to hold the government hostage over a bill that you don't like and have no control over. I mean, it's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I think that the smart, moderate Republicans should take a breath and not allow themselves to be held hostage by the far right wing of the party, because this is not a logical, reasonable thing to do. And I think that there are a lot of fed up Republicans at this point who don't like the way that their party is turned. And
yeah,
this is not logical. This is not reasonable.
And yet this is happening. The Heritage Action, which is the activist wing of Heritage Foundation, along with Tea Party Patriots and other groups, are starting to run online ads targeting a dozen Republican senators and House members, and 100, mostly Republican House members who either oppose or haven't signed on to the defund or shut down effort.
It was Heritage's idea in the first place.
That's how ridiculous this has come, right, Jackie? I mean, I mean, Chris makes a good point, and now they're funding trying to get them to shut down the government over it.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, there isn't one thing that we learned along the way. It's anything that's got the president's name attached to it or has anything to do with the president, they're going to oppose. So it doesn't have to do with the substance of the law. It doesn't have anything to do with the substance of solutions to fix our healthcare system. It doesn't have anything to do with the substance of running the government. It just has to do with the fact that they don't like the idea that we made some progress and we made it under President Obama. I mean, that's the fundamental problem here.
And I don't know if you saw this in the Wall Street Journal. Republicans do have ideas for health care, says Karl Rove, but liberals don't like to admit it because the GOP would put patients, not the government, in charge. How many times do we have to understand? We have to explain this is not a government health care system, right?
Ugh. But I love that that's the buzzword. You know, it's like, it's always patient-centered solutions. We've got patient-centered solutions. That's not what they have. They have insurance company solutions. They don't even have solutions. They usually have outlines or like one-page drafts of concepts, but in a fantasy land, it's ridiculous. The Republicans have never had a strong strategy for fixing our healthcare system. And patient-centered solutions is always the buzzword they use, and it means absolutely nothing. It's not what they do.
Let me get your take on what Karl Rove wrote in the Wall Street Journal. He said a lot of Republicans, you name some names, have long advocated making health insurance completely portable so workers can take their plans with them from job to job. This means giving individuals who buy coverage for themselves a tax advantage similar to the one that employers enjoy when they cover employees. Blah, blah, blah. In the House, they want to allow smaller companies to pool their risks to get the same discounts from insurance carriers that bigger companies do. Are these ideas new?
No, first of all, these are incredibly old ideas that have been circulating for a long time and rejected by the voters again and again and again. And you have to think about the reasons. I mean, it's healthcare policy, so it gets a little bit complicated sometimes, which is what Republicans like Karl Rove are banking on, that people aren't going to bother to learn the details because it's too complicated. But if you think about the reason, yes, I'd love for us not to have to be beholden to a job to get affordable health care. That would be amazing, right, to not have to have it tied to your job. Right. That would be terrific. It's too heavy a lift at this point to do, which is why we're making some of these incremental changes. We're offering exchanges where people can buy, in competitive health care plans as individuals. But the reason why you get it through your employer is because they have a rule that they can't deny you for pre-existing conditions when you're part of a group plan. Like that's the protection you get through your employer. So there's reasons why it's tied through your job right now. I mean, I love the idea of dismantling it, but then you have to say, okay, then you can't reject people for pre-existing conditions. And that's what they're going to do with the Affordable Care Act. But Republicans want to appeal the Affordable Care Act. So none of that makes sense.
And once again, he writes about selling insurance across state lines. Can you explain that one more time for people?
Yes, one more time. You don't want to buy health insurance across state lines because the regulations that protect you, the consumer protections, are state by state. And if you sell across state lines, your insurance company can set up in states that have very loose consumer protections, like Delaware, for example, or your credit card company set up, and then they can take advantage of you. So at least we have that barrier of state protections to protect you from insurance company abuses. If you allow people to buy across state lines, you allow insurance companies to set up in the states with the loosest consumer protection.
Yep. Here's the only good news is apparently they are starting to get some pushback at these town halls. I mean, I think a few Republicans have gotten, it's the thing they worst fear, people armed with facts. You know what I mean? Somebody yelled at one of these, teabaggers, like, what, will you have health care? Why can't we have it? And stuff like that.
Yeah, I love it. That's the best thing you can do is arm yourself with facts. I've been doing a lot of this because people have been sending me notes on Facebook and Twitter asking me questions, and I'm going to get to all of them. I've got a pile up I need to get to. God forbid I take a week off. But,
yeah, exactly.
I really just wanted a week, people. That's all I asked. But a lot of people are asking questions, and a lot of these questions are coming from these rumors and myths that are circulating online. And so I would tell people that your best offense on this is to be armed with the information, because there are so many rumors and so many fabricated horror stories coming up that have been just totally made up. I would go out and do a little bit of reading, and it's easy to find.
Well, we have Newt Gingrich on our side now. Did you see that? He said, ask Congress members about a positive replacement for Obamacare. They'll have zero answer. And he said, until we have a positive replacement, they should stop talking about this. I mean, and then there was this other guy, the what's his name, Nathan, he was the McCain guy, and he just renounced being a Republican because he said you want to discriminate against people like me with a pre-existing condition, and, you know, they can't justify it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, is if we stop, we take a breath, we take political affiliation out of it, what are the health care solutions that the Republicans have come up with? And they've come up with nothing. And I said this all along, and not until I was not political. I was a journalist for a very long time. I was a registered independent. I didn't have a political lean. And then I got into the healthcare fight, and I didn't understand why this had to be political, because as I always say, illness, an accident, an injury don't discriminate based on your political affiliation.
Yeah.
Everybody gets sick. Everybody gets hurt at some point. Everybody has to go through this. This is not a political thing, and it's unfortunate that this fight for affordable health care, access to affordable health care in this country has become political, because we all need it, and it doesn't based on their affiliation. And I think that's what a lot of these Republicans who are moderate, reasonable Republicans are coming to the table and saying, we get it. And not until people have a personal experience with their own health or with their insurance company do they realize how bad the situation is.
Yep, absolutely. Let's grab a couple of calls here. Hang on one second. Okay. I did it right. Shush. Richard in Maryland, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you very much, Mama. Hello, Jackie. How are you?
Good morning.
Hi. Two things I'd like to ask you. There was a replacement to the public option. There was the multi-state plans that were contracted by the Office of Personnel Management. I'd like to ask you what your opinion is on that. And also, when discussing about selling across state lines, the ACA does have provision for interstate health care compacts. Do you know about that, and could you explain that for me?
I don't know a lot of the details about that. I'd have to do a little bit more research on it, to be perfectly honest with you. But the idea that we want to set up anything where you can have a portable plan that you can carry across state lines has to come with built-in protections. That's the most important thing. Because we want to talk about the ability to protect consumers against insurance company abuses. And anything that we set up across any kind of state lines has got to come with some sort of built-in protections. The other problem we have in states, and it's not all states, and I don't want to make a generalization because people will come back and slap me for it online, but in a lot of states, the insurance companies are very closely tied to the insurance regulators, and there's not the oversight that there needs to be. This is decades in the making, and there's a lot of reciprocal pushover there, and there's not the strict regulation that there needs to be. So when we were looking for healthcare reform on a national level, which is what our fight was, the idea was to try and get some strong regulation in place, so that it wasn't, the last line of defense wasn't necessarily always on the state level, especially in the state where there wasn't as much oversight as there maybe should have been.
Okay. Can I call you one more segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, she's a good gal. All right. We have a couple more Ask Jackie questions. Jackie's Healthcare Corner as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
4 minutes? That's not good for me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That Miley Cyrus performance was 4 minutes. Wow. That saved more than the world.
Jim didn't need that long. Jim only needed a couple minutes. It was all over. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anyone.
Once the foam finger came
Jackie Schechner twerking in the healthcare corner for us.
That's right.
You'll need healthcare if you twerk like that.
I actually missed the VMAs. I got Apple TV, and I've been obsessed with my Netflix on my television.
Orange
so
is the New Black?
Anything. I've watched all of those already.
Oh,
yeah.
It's so good.
I'm now most of the way through House of Cards.
Oh, House of Cards is like crack.
I'm going to start Breaking Bad from the beginning.
Oh, my
there
God.
You go.
OMG. All right. Oh, by the way, Beth in Minneapolis.
And I plan to never work again.
Beth in Minneapolis says, want to add this to Jackie's corner this morning. My health insurance premium will stay at $800 per month, but due to Obamacare, I will get a tax credit from the federal government, so my actual monthly payment will be $200. $200. Thanks, Obama. How about a little thank you, Mr. President?
Well, that's another thing. When people talk about what the premiums are going to be under the Affordable Care Act, a lot of times the Republicans will leave out that small minor detail that people are now going to get subsidies to help them pay premiums. Yeah. So while the premium actual cost may stay the same or may go up a little bit as the insurance companies choose to raise their rates, it's actually going to all overall be better for the consumer because you're going to get, if you make, you know, between a certain amount of money, 133 and 400% of the poverty level, you're going to get a government subsidy to help pay the premium. So your out-of-pocket cost for that premium is going to be considerably lower.
Tyranny, yeah. Socialism.
Exactly, Jim. Marla, Marla in Missouri, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead, Marla.
Hey, Jackie. My husband was ranting and raving about seniors and all that they're going to have to pay in on Obamacare. And I'm just sitting there getting more furious and more furious. And my husband says, defriend her.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Is there a website or something that I can just, I can get her on the IRS and Benghazi and all that other stuff, but I can't get her on this. I don't know where to look.
So healthcare.gov is a good website for all of the walk-you-through information coming from the administration. MedicareRights.org is a good website
Medicare.
For information about Medicare specifically.
MedicareRights.org, right?
Yeah, MedicareRights.org. There's also a couple of good resources, independent organizations like the Kaiser Family Foundation. They do great research. Families USA does great research. There are lots of websites out there that have broken down the Affordable Care Act into easy-to-understand terms. And I'll put some of those up through Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing as we go along just to help with some information.
We like it when you play Healthcare Mama Bird and just regurgitate the small bits into our mouth, if you don't mind.
Yeah. Yes. Now,
okay.
I'll continue to do that. Because
thank you. Thank you. Bill in Chicago, you're on with Jackie. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Jackie, there was a little news bleep on, of course, the Fox great news media in Chicago saying from the CEO from Delta saying that there was it would cost them $100 million to cover their employees with the Obamacare. I don't know if you heard anything about that.
And along those same lines, UPS said that they're going to stop providing benefits for spouses of their workers because of Obamacare. Did you hear about that as well?
Yeah. I did, yes. And let me clarify. I have not heard the Delta thing. But let me kind of explain. And I think I sent you, Chris, mm-hmm. I have not gotten it. I sent it late last night about the UPS thing. Here's what UPS is doing, because this I do understand and I do know, is that UPS has decided that it doesn't want to offer benefits to spouses who can get their own benefits through their own work, which actually makes some sense.
Okay.
They don't want to have to pay for health insurance for spouses who can get it through their own job. And that makes sense. And it's a consideration that actually a lot of companies have weighed, and a lot of companies have already taken that step. They just haven't publicized it. So this is not necessarily tied to the Affordable Care Act. It's a decision that these companies are making that why should they absorb the cost of a working spouse if that spouse is employer mm-hmm. could be contributing. So I understand that, and it's a business decision. UPS is not cutting off the option of benefits to spouses who don't work.
Okay.
Also not allowed to cut off the benefits to those members who are union members because, yay, for union protections. But what they're doing is saying that we don't want to pay for extra health insurance for working spouses whose employers could be paying for
okay.
it.
Right? All right. Let's do one more here. Samantha in Texas, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jackie, and I just want to say I every day. My question, I have the unfortunate thing of living in Texas, and my daughter is 28 or will be 28 years old next week on Tuesday, and she has a 7-year-old son and a 6-year-old daughter, and she doesn't make more than $25,000 a year, and I was just wondering, what are my options to help get some kind of coverage for her? Considering that Perry is blocking everything.
I know. It's really, really difficult. And my condolences for living in Texas with Rick Perry, because he's really doing his best to hurt you guys. And
30 seconds, Jack. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. I mean, quickly, I would look into the state exchange and see where she falls on that scale.
Okay.
At Medicaid as it stands now. There may be some options under Medicaid as it stands now, and there may be a high-risk pool or some sort of state aid that's available. But I know Rick Perry's making it really, really difficult to cover those who don't make enough money. I know.
All right. Love you, Jackie. Talk to you soon, honey.
Love you, guys.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sam. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You don't look like the kind of guy who does this.
Well, my wife thinks...
Stephanie Miller.
It's too crazy for me, but I'm going to prove her wrong.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Okay, oh, Joe in Cary, North Carolina, Jim, has provided me with some Ben Franklin fun facts with which to fight back. Steph, this is the full Ben Franklin quote about liberty and safety. Franklin wrote... They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Notice that Franklin qualified the terms liberty and safety. He refers to essential liberty and a little temporary safety. By doing so, Franklin is creating a balance between liberty and safety. If Franklin saw liberty and safety as absolutes, he would not need to use the qualifying terms, and his quote would instead be, they who can give up liberty to obtain safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Franklin did not say that, but that's what the Combustible Hair Club's president, Jim Ward, seems to think Franklin said. Franklin's quote clearly aims to strike a balance. This is the debate winner.
Well, right, that's of course it's to strike a balance. I never said that it didn't.
All right, let's go back to fighting with neocons.
Yeah.
The real ones, shall
that
we?
That didn't make any sense at all.
And thank God right-wingers have a new service.
The following is a recording of an actual ConStar call.
ConStar, please state the nature of your emergency.
Hey, my brother-in-law is in the car, and he is going on and on about Obamacare.
No. Every small business in America will have to fire everyone.
I cannot seem to control him.
I'm serious. Death panels, biggest tax increase in history.
So we were just going to this grocery store, you know, and I mentioned that my back was hurting. And he just started
in. You know who else had socialized medicine?
Okay, stay calm, sir. Okay. May I ask where your brother-in-law gets his news and information?
Well, I don't know. It's either Fox News or where he hangs out at the body shop.
No, I don't care. They have to wait 7 hours to see a doctor in Canada.
All right, sir. I'm sending you instructions on how to get to the nearest bookstore.
Okay. You know, I'm not even sure he can read.
That's okay, sir. They have picture books, graphic novels, and videos, too.
Doctors won't take Medicare no more.
Shut up!
With ConStar, if you're faced with neocon logic, you're never more than the touch of a button away from actual thinking people.
This is ConStar.
Hello, ConStar. I can't get the doors or windows unlocked. My uncle is yammering on about Benghazi.
Mama. Watch live video. He did not do anything.
Would you shut up, Uncle? You know I'm talking to the ConStar lady.
He ordered the commando.
You are just
okay, ma'am. Ma'am, I'm deploying the passenger side airbag. Hold on.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you need?
No, ma'am.
These were recordings of actual ConStar calls. When you find yourself surrounded by life's little accidents, we're there for you. ConStar.
Oh, God.
I love talking points through the airbag.
Yeah.
Oh, happy birthday for the win.
That was brilliant.
That was awesome. Actually, that's what Rush Limbaugh sounds like that to me now, like Jim's impression. Does it matter anymore what the words are? They're all interchangeable.
Slut.
Exactly my point. Oh, speaking of which, I was reading this L.A. Times opinion piece of my dad, Rush Limbaugh, and me.
Yes.
Which I thought just made really amazing points. And, of course, this past weekend, all the right-wingers wrote in to talk about, see, this shows you how intolerant liberals are. And I thought it was this beautiful love story about how her Rush Limbaugh-loving dad gave up his caps because he loved her more. And and then he died. And anyway, she finished by saying, I thought, I don't know how they got that, but I thought this was like a really hopeful love story. She said, I suspect our family dynamic wasn't unique, that across America, fathers and daughters and sons and mothers have learned to accommodate political differences and respect one another across the Gulf. Our love for each other and our family helped my father and me transcend the enormous ideological divide between us. It makes me wonder if there isn't something in these experiences that might help us as Americans transcend our political differences. Even if we don't have the same closeness as a family, Americans of all political stripes do share a love of country, and that could be a start, at least, reaching across the Gulf of ideology to work cooperatively and respectfully to solve the challenges facing the nation. And I was, well, as you say, Jim, Yahoo comments, at least, is all populated by
Yahoos. Yeah, right.
Benghazi.
Right, but it was just more right-wingers going, oh, she's so intolerant of her father's beliefs. It was like, what?
No, the only reason they're upset is because it suggested that Rush Limbaugh is something less than a god.
Right, right. And who can disagree with that, huh?
And they love God more.
Ditto, Rush!
They love Rush.
Ditto!
They love Rush Limbaugh more
slut.
Than they love Jesus.
Ditto, slut!
Oh, dear God. Anyway, I thought it was a fabulous piece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can't get really personal, but you know, I come from a divided political family, and it seems like there used to be a time when you could use humor and stuff, but even in my own family, it's gotten really bad, and I know a lot of people say the same thing, but here, this is why my new hero on every issue in My Future Wife is Antoinette Tuff.
Yes.
She is the bookkeeper at this school. And she's the one that stopped this latest armed madman with an AK-47 with human empathy and compassion for another human being and using her own experiences to try to, like, understand another human being. You got to hear this 911 call again.
I'm in the front office. Oh, he just went outside and started shooting. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off and what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dying. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable. Do you want me to try? I can help you. You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay. It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up, and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. Ain't nothing so skinny on days of my life.
Beebe. But you did great.
Woo, Jesus.
You did great.
Oh, God.
Oi, anyway. She is a true hero. I was I was saying, you know, CNN debating this latest George Zimmerman going to a gun factory and getting his picture taken. Same gun factory that made the gun that killed Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, and I was saying, I'm like, this is your hero? This is your Second Amendment hero? That's a hero. That woman is a hero. You know, more guns is not what stopped one of these. The only time that she stopped one of these situations, it was a human being armed with empathy. And
if only she had an AK-47, and could have shot up the whole place.
Right.
Then
caught a lot of kids in the crossfire. Yeah, that would have been better if there were more guns there. But I mean, I just thought that was one of the most powerful things I've heard in a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Amazing.
And more importantly, I was explaining how right wing zygote Ben Ferguson fell into my bear trap. Because I said, first of all, he belongs in prison, and, you know, and he was saying, oh, well, he has a Second Amendment right, Stephanie, to have a gun, and what if someone were to take the law in their own hands? I'm like, oh, excuse me? I'm sorry. You mean...
This was a case study of taking the law into your own hands.
Oh, you mean if some doofus wannabe cop were to take the law into their own hands, if something like that were to happen? Oops, there goes Ben Ferguson. He just lightly covered a hole with leaves. Yeah. Oops. Oops. Sorry.
But what if someone took the law into their own hands?
He did do the cartoon running in the air a little bit before he fell, though. He's, that was a bad argument. Shunk.
Shunk.
Right, and then he fell on a guitar.
On a guitar. On a Miley Cyrus guitar.
And he was just down there twerking in the CNN dirt hole. I don't know.
This is the sound of one man twerking. With a guitar.
By the way, I will be on the CNN television network. Generally, I'm on every day. And Aaron Burnett at 4:45.
You're on
Pacific,
Aaron Burnett?
7:45 Eastern. and perhaps debating another right-wing zygote. Here is some really good news. A U.S. district judge has temporarily blocked an Oklahoma law banning over-the-counter access to contraceptives like Plan B one-step pill. The injunction means adults in the state will not have to show ID to obtain the pills, as ordered by law passed in May. The law also requires women under the age of 17 to have a prescription before buying the contraceptives. Once again, Oklahoma politicians' efforts to turn back the clock on women's health and rights have been blocked. So there is hope in the courts on some of this stuff. And I hope we listen to John Lewis and do something on voting rights, as he talked about yesterday at the March on D.C.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? We need to cleanse our palate with the news that Sean Connery made crazy love to his wife 24 hours after they first met. Who would like some details?
First wife.
The 82-year-old embarked on a passionate affair with a French artist.
She wasn't 82 at the time.
No. Who he later married. Mm-hmm. He was still married to someone. It's not important now. He was married to someone else. But Micheline?
Micheline.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She said she will never forget their first time between the sheets. She said, the key's in the door. He's reading a newspaper lying down naked. Ooh. Yem sacks exposed. In one step, I jump on the bed, undo my leather belt, and pretend to whip him with it while dancing. He grabs hold of me and kisses me passionately, almost brutally, animalistically. His skin releases a scent.
Why is this public knowledge?
Not of hot sand, but more like silex, a warm and intoxicating smell like stones rubbing against each other.
What's silex? Hey, whatever floats your boat.
I'm transported. The four days that follow, we continue to play golf like strangers, then we meet to make love like crazy people. The reality is even better than the fantasy. No man has ever had this effect on me. Oh, dear. Well, Sir Sean.
Yes, I've dragged my yam shack through many a bramble. But never to such great effect as with Micheline Rockbrune. She was a wild cat. She jumped on the bed and whipped me with my own belt. So I reciprocated by splitting it open like cordwood. A few years later, I asked her to join me in Marabella, Spain, for some more slap and tickle. We tried some adventurous positions, like the Arabian death mask, the backbreaker double fish hook, the Canadian jackhammer, which I believe is Ted Cruz's nickname in college. There's the cross-fingered crippler, who is actually a Bond villain, I believe. There's the handbagger helper. You really don't want to know, trust me.
No, you don't. No.
The jellyfish surprise. The leprechaun's revenge.
Don't laugh. You're laughing.
The Nicaraguan... the Nicaraguan crab sandwich. My favorite... the salty walrus. I'm still recovering from that one. I'll be sure. No, seriously, I'll be sure for a long time after that one. My kingdom for a chiropractor. The kiss of death from
Mr. Goldfinger. Oh, okay. I remember you a minute.
Split her open like what?
Like cordwood.
Cordwood. Gotcha. Thank you.
That's hot.
Yeah.
It's almost like that thing where midgets on roller skates and...
Okay, let's pause to regain our composure.
Any Stefan club you'd find in the meatpacking district.
Who cares what time it is? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't know what that means, but I like the sound of it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
You're right. I think Miley Cyrus was doing a combination of the jelly the surprise and the salty walrus.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened last night. Okay.
But maybe a little bit of the leprechaun's revenge.
And the Nicaraguan crab sandwich.
All right.
I really don't want it because all of those are real things.
I'm afraid
the,
so.
The James Sean Connery bit, if you just missed it, well, that's reason enough to get the Steph cast. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in
that's
advance.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that thing where...
step on. They're all still
like
out.
When a paramecium gets up your nose. And
all right, now the second funniest thing is the picture of Will Smith and his family watching
Miley Cyrus last night.
Yeah. It is described here in the Hollywood Reporter. Robin Thicke's appearance halfway through the song didn't help matters much, while Cyrus crotch grabbed fake herself and dry humped the 36-year-old singer's audience members collectively gasped. Yeah, springtime for Hitler face. She had a giant foam finger. Yes, and Tina Dupuy is going to be live in studio tomorrow, and Jim suggested that we get her a giant styrofoam. And
I don't think she would go for that.
No, I think not.
No. And she will not twerk on you either, Janet.
No. All right. No matter how much you pretend to be Robin Thicke.
She's probably going to sit way over there on the other side.
Do you blame her?
Somebody tweeted, Miley Cyrus' performance at the VMAs is the most uncomfortable thing I've ever watched.
Oh, my God.
Yikes.
And we've seen turtles humping.
So. We've watched turtle sex. Oh, in today's video, dogs are bouncing on trampolines.
Trampolines.
And goats on trampolines.
Who's a bouncy boy?
Oh, Lord.
Speaking of blurred lines, Marvin Gaye's family has declined a huge settlement in the blurred lines lawsuit. It's getting hotter.
Hmm.
The lawsuit over the song of the summer just got a little hotter. Marvin Gaye's family reportedly turned down a six-figure settlement and have decided to continue with a planned lawsuit, believing the court will find that blurred lines is a blatant ripoff of Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of sounds like it to me. Not a musicologist, just saying. So we shall see. By the way,
Stones and Led Zeppelin had to pay up for stealing some of Willie Dixon's songs, or taking some of the lyrics anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said, oh, hell no.
By the way, speaking of lawsuits, a settlement in the lawsuit against Paula Deen, the legal battle that led to the near-instant collapse like a bad souffle of Paula Deen's multi-billion dollar food empire ended on Friday when the last pieces of a lawsuit filed by a former manager at one of her restaurants were resolved in a settlement agreement. A judge had dismissed the sexual harassment portion of the case with prejudice, meaning it cannot be filed again. So I guess that the lawsuit is settled.
Yep.
Paula Deen released a statement saying, my team and I are working to review the workplace environment issues that were raised in this matter and to retool all of my business operations.
Okay. If she makes amends, that's...
Yes, know, well, fine. Yes. Yes, perhaps stop requesting, tap dancing N-words and shorts. That might be a start.
Wow.
All right. CNN, speaking of the network that I'm on most days, not happy with a new variety of pot that is named after Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
Man, I got so gooped last night, man.
Dude. Don't hog the Sanjay.
Don't hog the Sanjay.
CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, who recently changed his mind about the use of medical marijuana, has weed named after. With 24 hours of the official press release being released, CNN contacted Helping Hands Dispensary in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, because they weren't helping, apparently.
Right. And requested that
Bhagartha Gupta.
That it stop the sales of Sanjay Gupta Kush. All right. And
it's an homage.
Mm-hmm, yeah, exactly. Finally, why is no one named box wine after me? Why is there no Card Bordeaux?
You don't drink enough.
Listen, I'm working on it. This is a sad show business news. Linda Ronstadt discloses her battle with Parkinson's.
No.
She can no longer sing.
Yeah.
She said no one can sing with Parkinson's disease no matter how hard you try. She is 67. She says she cannot sing a note because she suffers from Parkinson's. She was diagnosed 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she began to show symptoms as long as 8 years ago, but she ascribed her inability to sing to a tick bite.
Yeah.
Oi, I had Lyme disease. I was bitten by a tick years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She said my health has never recovered since then, and believed the shaking in her hands had resulted from shoulder surgery. So she didn't know that's what she had, and she was shocked. That's very
so
sad.
Sad.
I know. I've heard that it can. Now it made me nervous because I had back in New York, Lyme disease from forget what kind of deer tick.
Right.
Yeah, and you take the antibiotics and you get better, but they're saying if it passes like the blood-brain barrier,
right,
it can,
yeah,
it can come back later. So good, something else to worry about for me. Good, as if my life's not bad enough.
Sure.
All right, but at least I'm not this woman who hid a 42-inch TV under her skirt.
What?
I have not recently tried to steal a 42-inch TV screen.
It had to be a big skirt.
Right. Woman was arrested after police say she walked out of a store with a 42-inch television under her skirt.
Okay.
The woman made it as far as the bus stop with the TV between her legs.
Aren't they in boxes, generally, when you...
Excuse me?
No, the TV.
Sounds a little like the crab sandwich surprise to me. But...
the Nicaraguan crab sandwich.
Leprechaun's
Revenge.
Right. She made it as far as the bus stop with the TV between her legs, but was arrested on the bus after being reported by a suspicious employee. Ooh, that's a sharp one, that employee. When asked how she was able to walk...
wait a minute.
When asked how she was able to walk out with the TV, she said she was Romanian and had very strong thighs.
Okay.
I think she could give Sir Sean a run for his money.
Yes. I love the Romanian crab sandwich.
God! Oh!
All right. So tomorrow on the big show, kids, Tina Dupuy, as we said, live in studio, hour number three?
Yes,
and I believe our usual Tuesday pal, Charlie Pierce?
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. Then it'll be a big show.
It will be.
Jim will think of something else disgusting, I'm sure, by then.
He's bringing in a foam finger, whether she likes it or not.
Right.
Is that a foam finger, or are you just... No, no, no.
I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy. I'd like to thank the official Bob Filner of the Stephanie Miller Show, Jim Moore. And Travis Bone on phones and drums. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.